We're coming to God's Word, Matthew chapter 10, and we're continuing our study in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 16. And the Lord is continuing to speak to his 12 disciples, whom he calls apostles, who are being sent out with a specific mission for a limited period of time to go to the house of Israel. And then, of course, we know that that's going to be opened up to all the world in which the gospel is to be preached. So there are further instructions given from the Lord Jesus Christ to these 12 men. And we continue our reading and take it up there in verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man may come. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just ask for thy blessing afresh upon the word today. We realize, Lord, that these instructions were for a specific mission, but we thank thee that there are principles in which we can glean and put into application in our everyday lives as we've been called to fulfill the Great Commission. And our prayer is that, O Lord, thou wilt help us to be wise. Give us instruction in thy word this morning. Empty our hearts of that which is not convenient for this time. Empty our minds from thoughts that are not appropriate. And, O Lord, give us an attention to thy word and to hear thy voice speaking. And empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy Spirit, that God may be glorified in what is said and in the response that is given to the precious living word of God. Bless us, we pray, and continue with us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. In verse number 16, we read these words, I send you. I send you. And the Lord Jesus Christ had a specific task and purpose and plan for these 12 men. He was sending them forth with a task to do. You know, the Lord has a task for each of us to do. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. That word thoughts could be also translated plans. I know the plans I think toward you, saith the Lord. And God has a plan for you. And God has a plan for me. And it's our duty to get before God and seek his will and ask what that plan would be, that we might be found in the center of the will of God, in the place of blessing. I trust this week God will send you to individuals to speak to them about coming to your services to witness to them. The word send there is the word apostello. And you can understand that that's where we get our word apostle from. Those who are sent with a mission and with a message. And our mission is to bring Christ to the world through the message of salvation, to share the message of Christ. I challenge you before we go any further in our meeting this morning. Have you shared that message this past week? Since we last sat in this house and thought about the principles of going forth into the world, preaching the gospel, have you had an opportunity to share that message this past week? Well, we can't retrieve this week whatever has happened, whether it's been a week of working or a week of maybe not working, but we can say, Lord, give me grace to work today. And give me grace to work this week, and I give this week to thee, and Lord, help me to speak to individuals about their soul. But notice how they're sent forth. I send you forth as sheep. Now, once again, we're reminded that everything the Lord spoke about and the pictorial language he used was so familiar to the people of Israel. They would have no doubt been sitting somewhere where they could have lifted their eyes and seen the sheep and seen the shepherds all around the land of Israel. So therefore, in the historical context and the setting of the Gospel of Matthew, we know that the illustration of sheep would be one that every person in that group could identify with. And one significant fact regarding sheep is this: they have no capacity for self-defense. They cannot defend themselves. You have no fear going toward a sheep because that sheep is not able to defend itself. Now, there's fear going towards a lion or a bear, but there is no fear going toward a sheep. They are fully dependent on the shepherd, on the farmer, on their master to protect them. That's why the shepherd slept in the very door of the sheepfold so that the wolves and the bears wouldn't come in, because they knew that he was going to defend and attack because he was the one who defended the sheep. You know what that reminds me? You and I, as God's people, are absolutely no match for the enemies of the gospel. We're no match. We personally cannot thwart Satan. We cannot fight against the world or the flesh or the devil. But we rejoice this morning that we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. He is the good shepherd. He is the shepherd who has promised that he will preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The fact that we're standing today is not a testimony to the fact that we have done well. The fact that we're standing today in the faith is a testimony to the fact that Christ hath done all things well. He has preserved us and he has kept us. And if you're sitting here in God's house this morning, able to worship him and able to sing on to him and hungry for his word, then your heart ought to be lifted up and say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me to this very hour. And whenever the master sends us somewhere, we are not alone. If the master this week sends you to go to an individual, and the doubts and the fears come, and what are you going to do? And what are you going to say? Remember, you are not alone. He is ever with you. And then it goes on to say, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And this is imagery again. What do wolves want to do? They want to come and destroy the sheep. They want to come and cause damage. And here's the image, that of evil men who want to harm God's people. And the immediate context in that day would have been the Pharisees, because they did everything in their power to actively harm the Saviour. In fact, they plotted and planned to put him to death. And the people of God, they discouraged and they tried to start accusation against them and make claims against them that were not true. And in every age, there's always been wolves. There's always been those enemies of the gospel who are not just content to reject Christ. Who are not just content to live in disobedience to the word of God, but they actively want to hurt the people of God. They want to hurt the church of Jesus Christ. They want to hinder the proclamation of truth. They want to harm and halt the witness of the church and the freedom of God's people. And you know, we should never be surprised whenever this happens. We shouldn't be surprised or even alarmed whenever individuals or groups seek to do harm to the people of God and to his cause. Because the Lord gives us instruction on how to deal with such matters in these following verses. Whenever there is no attack against the church, whenever there's no struggle to do the right thing, whenever there is no enemy fighting you, you know what you'll find? You're in heaven. That's the only time. That's the only time. So wicked and evil is the devil and all the hosts of hell, that even on the deathbed at times they come to sow doubts into the hearts of God's children. They don't care about the pain or the suffering. A friend, we're in the midst of wolves today. Whenever the gospel is preached, when the truth is proclaimed, there are those who hate it and those who want to hinder and harm it. So what should we be then in this day when there's so many people about wanting to attack the gospel? Well, the Bible says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, the word wise means thoughtful or prudent, being a considering person. So instead of just doing something, considering what you do before you do it. And the word harmless there is another word we need to give you the meaning of. It means innocent. It's from a word which means unmixed. And of course, we see the picture there. Doves will not mix with unclean birds. They're very clean. They keep to themselves. And therefore, as God's people, we're not to mix with impurity or with that which is wrong. It's not to be that people look at our lives and have to think, well, are they with the world? Are they with Christ? But that they will know for sure we are pure and we are innocent and separate from sin. Now, it says, be wise as serpents. Now, snakes and serpents by nature are cautious and wary. They will sit there for hours, curled up, camouflaged, considering where they're going to go next, seeing if there's an enemy about, seeing the trail they're going to go, seeing if there's going to be something dangerous in the way. They observe and they plan carefully. And the idea here is that you should be wise when you view your circumstances, that we don't make ram-dash decisions. And we don't make decisions surrounded by those who hate the gospel. But rather that we consider each step we take prayerfully and we do what is right before God. Someone called it a possessing sanctified common sense. Pray that God will give you common sense. Sanctified common sense to do what is right before men. That there will be not able to accuse you of doing the wrong, and that you will not be a hindrance in the work of God. Another Bible commentator put it this way: wisdom to do the right thing at the right time, in the right place, and in the right manner. And the good way to do this is to ask, how will the decision I make affect my future, that of my neighbour, and the glory of God? I know sometimes people have the question, well, can a Christian do this? Can a Christian do that? And they bring up these different things and they want you effectively to give them the Bible to say, okay, I'm sure that's okay. Well, the minister said we can do it, so we can go and do it. But when we're making decisions about what we should or shouldn't do in our lives, that's a good way to regulate those decisions. How will it affect my own future? This decision that I make today or I'm going to make today, how will it affect my future? Will I still have a testimony? Will I be able to look people in the eyes and share the gospel of Christ based on this decision that I make, or will it hinder me from doing that? Will this decision be a stumbling block for my neighbour? Will they be more unsure about what a Christian is because of what I'm doing, or will it be very clear what a Christian is? Will I be a faithful testimony? Will it hurt my neighbour? Will it offend my neighbour? Or will it help them? And here's the ultimate one. How will this decision affect God's glory? Will it bring honour to him the way I'm living? Or will it grieve the Spirit of God? And that's the decision process we have to go through. How will it affect my life and testimony, those around me, and the God who gave his Son to die for me? And I'll tell you, when you hold up things beside those three questions, it'll be very clear what you can do and what you ought to do. And certainly, if you're saved and love the Lord, it's not what can I do or how far can I go, but the bottom line is this: how close can I go to my Saviour? How close can I go to him? Not how far away into the world, but how close to him? We are to walk wisely, and we are to walk carefully, and we are to walk cleanly before God and man. So that's your duty, that's mine. Is it easy? No, it's not. The devil penetrates our minds with unclean thoughts, with sinful things, and maybe even the wrong motive at times to do the right thing. And therefore we need to pray, O Lord, give me a sanctified mind. I give it over to thee. Let me not linger on things that are sinful, on things that are against thee or against scripture, but help me to be wise in the things that I decide to do. Verse number 17-18. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, and for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now once again, as I said, this is a specific message that's given dependent upon this particular assignment. And therefore, this will not always happen to every single believer. Not every believer will be brought before councils. They will not be brought into courts. However, in our land in the last number of years, we have seen that very thing happen. We have seen Christians for no other reason other than the fact that they have conviction that the word of God is true and that they wanted to honour the Lord being brought into a court of law. And while it doesn't happen to everyone, it can happen to some. So what principles can we take from these two verses? Well, the first thing is this. There will be opposition to the gospel. There will be opposition to the gospel. In fact, there will be religious opposition to the gospel. And some of the most vehement opposition and the most vocal opposition against gospel preaching actually comes from so-called religious groups, so-called churches and so-called ministers who know nothing of God's saving power in their lives. There are people today standing in pulpits and they make a mock of a gospel appeal or a gospel message or continually preaching about the blood. There's people today who will preach and they'll never mention heaven, hell, the cross, repentance, faith, conversion. Why? Because they know nothing of it themselves. And they are dead against such people. How do I know that's a fact? Well, it's always been that way. If you turn to Acts chapter 22, you will find a very religious man. In fact, a Pharisee of the Pharisees who did that very thing. Acts chapter 22, verse 19. And Paul's speaking here. He says, I know, and I said, Lord, Acts 22:19. They know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. Turn over to chapter 26 of Acts Gospel and verse number 11. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And here was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. This was the religious man in town. This is a man that people would have looked up to and respected. And he was set against the preaching of the gospel. In fact, he took the very warrants to imprison and put to death those who were preaching Christ. Some of the greatest hatred comes from those who call themselves Christians, and I use that word with a small c, not born again Christians, but they call themselves Christians simply because they go to church or simply because they live a certain way. They've never been born again, they've never been saved, and they hate the gospel. I'll tell you, there's something drastically wrong for a man or woman who claims to be a Christian, who shakes their head and thinks it's craziness to preach Christ to sinners. Something drastically wrong in the soul. And therefore, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised one iota whenever that religious opposition to the gospel comes. And how sad it is whenever people set themselves against the Lord and against the gospel and somehow seek to prosper. But not only that, there's a view to a whole or a wider mission field here than they have now, because at the end of verse number 18 it says, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And this fact that there was going to be religious persecution and even persecution in wider society, yes, was going to be in this assignment, but the Lord was looking ahead. And while it was only to the Jewish people at this time they were to go out and reach, the idea was that as the Great Commission came, the Gentiles was also be reached. And whenever we think about that, we know that the Apostle Paul himself stood before Gallio and Felix and Festus. He was brought before governors and kings to give an account. But notice something else, because it says three little words in the middle of verse 18, "for my sake." And the reason that they were being summoned would be because they are following him, they are living in obedience to him. And because they were living for Christ, and this was the very reason for the persecution, they could rely on the help of God in these incidences. You know, the Lord gives an honest account to these men. He doesn't say, "Oh, on you go, and it'll be easy, and what a great time it'll be, and everything will be successful." No, he doesn't say that. He says, there's going to be tough times ahead. There's a battle to face. There are going to be dark days, there are going to be difficult days, but I don't want you to worry, because I will provide everything that you need. And the Christian life is not always easy. I know that, you know that. If you're saved any amount of time, you'll know the devil's real, temptation's real, the world is real, the flesh is real. You'll know that the antagonism of the people who are not saved, that's real. But praise God, while it's not always easy, the Lord is always faithful. We're always blessed. We can rejoice even in the midst of suffering, because he is the God that giveth songs in the night. Our hope is not based on everybody liking us. Our hope is that we are justified and accepted in Christ Jesus. Our joy is not everybody patting us on the back. Our joy is that we are walking in the footsteps of Christ, obeying the word of God, and knowing the smile of God upon us. That's our joy today. We're not depending on the world saying how good we are. We'd be fearful of that. But we're rejoicing that we have a faithful Savior who's promised never leave us or forsake us. And you'll notice something else, that these messengers of the gospel were to use the opportunities given to be witnesses for the Lord. And it said this would happen for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. There was to be a testimony. And whenever they were brought up before the kings and the rulers, they were to take their opportunity to give a testimony of who they were, why they were there, and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is never a time when it's not appropriate to share the gospel of Christ. They weren't sitting feeling sorry for themselves. They weren't to complain. They weren't to turn away from God, but they were rather to take the opportunity that the Lord gave them and share the word of God. Did that happen? Did that actually happen? Yes, it did. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. And in Philippians chapter 1, we read in the letter of Paul to the church at Philippi, just a few verses here that teach us that this very thing took place. Look at verse number 12. Philippians 1:12. "But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that these things which happened unto me have fallen out rather onto the furtherance of the gospel." What things? He was in prison. "So that my bonds, or my chains in Christ, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Because he had been before the governor in the palace, he took the opportunity to tell him of Christ. And now the gospel had got into the palace. What was the result of that? We'll turn to chapter 4, verse 22. "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Ah, you see, the gospel had been preached within the palace. And people who served in that palace, or people who maybe even lived in that palace in authority, had come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because what seemed to be so bad had been turned into something good for the Lord. The Lord had purposed it for good. Oh yes, it seemed to be that here were good people being put before magistrates and governors and kings and then thrown into prison. But through that very thing, did the Lord not use their testimony to win souls in the very place that never had received the gospel before? Even though Paul persecuted the Christians to such a degree before he was saved that they went to strange cities, they had to leave Jerusalem, they had to leave the cities of Israel because it was so unpleasant to live as a Christian. Did they not yet take the gospel to other cities? And that's how it spread throughout the Roman Empire at that time. Friend, God's in control. Don't think that every attack of the evil one is something to be completely discouraged about. God is doing something. God is doing something. And he only allows the devil to go so far that God's purposes would be forwarded and then no further. And therefore, don't be discouraged whenever people ridicule you. Don't be discouraged when people ridicule the church. Don't be discouraged whenever the attack of the evil one comes upon society in general. God is doing something. God is stirring people. We have an opportunity now, whenever these issues come up about all the different big buzzwords of the day and climate change and gender and all these things, we have an opportunity to say, hold on a wee minute. God's word says we have the opportunity to tell people who maybe otherwise wouldn't want to listen to us, well, you speak to me and I'll listen, but let me speak to you and you listen to me. We have the opportunity to speak of Christ and our hope in the gospel. In verses 19 and 20, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And here, once again, God is going to provide for them. God has provided already practically. He is going to provide spiritually. And here, he provides in the moment they need to speak. He's going to provide the very words that they have to say. Take no thought. It means don't be anxious. Don't be fearful. Now, it is used in Matthew's gospel already in relation to material needs and to spiritual things. But in this instance, it is the fact that God is going to give you the right words to say at the right time. And you know, you're maybe thinking, I would love to take one of those invites this morning. And I would love to go to maybe a friend, a cousin, maybe a neighbour, a work colleague, and give it to them. But I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say. God will give you the words to say. If you go to do a work for him or a service for him, God will equip you with what you need to say. The individual was not to be anxious about what to say or how to say it, but God will give the right word at the right moment. And we ought to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God as to when to speak and when to be quiet. Because sometimes we say too much and we go too far. God is able to use a word given by him, sown in our weakness, mightily for his glory. And as somebody once said, when you're preaching, I think it was a Bible college, he said, you can preach the people right under the blessing and then preach on and preach them out of it again. You can go too far. And therefore, may God give us discernment to be wise, harmless, that we will not be a hindrance but a blessing to those to whom we go. Someone once said these words, witnessing grace, like dying grace, is given when needed, and not before. And therefore, God gives you what you need when you need it, not before. I couldn't do that. No, you can't do it right now, but you're not witnessing right now. But as you go, be it in prayer, God will give you the grace that you need to speak. And as we read verse 20, it says, it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. We realize that God takes men and women and God speaks through them. Isn't that wonderful? God can use you and me to speak through us, to share his message. You see, while a preacher is preaching or a testifier is testifying and sharing their message, it is God that's speaking. It's God that's speaking. It's not my word, it's God's word. And therefore, in this instance, they haven't time to prepare. Suddenly they're hurled up before a magistrate, but God will give them the word to speak, and how we need to trust in the Lord to give us the words to speak for him and to speak for his glory. I just want to finish by showing you in verse number 21 and 22 that persecution can come from all areas and from all people. Brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And you say, no, surely not. Surely a brother wouldn't give a brother out of a family over to be put to death? Surely parents wouldn't give children to be put to death? Surely children wouldn't give parents to be put to death. That's too far. Friend, that's happening in this world today. Oh, there's hatred from all different types of people, all different types of places. And there are people today in various countries that are truly under the threat of death because of their faith. I was looking up some statistics this week. In 2021, 13 Christians worldwide were killed because of their faith every day. Every day. In 2021, 12 churches or Christian buildings where churches met were attacked every day. And in 2021, 12 Christians were unjustly arrested or imprisoned every day. And 5 were abducted. In 2022, this year, the 5 most dangerous places to live as a Christian: Afghanistan, North Korea, Somalia, Libya, and Yemen. And between October 2020 and September 2021, in Nigeria, 4,650 people were murdered because they professed faith in Christ. We know absolutely nothing of persecution. Friend, we know nothing of what it is to be hindered for the gospel's sake, really, when we consider what is going on in those countries across the world. And our duty as God's people is not just to remember our work here and to be so parochial that this is all we focus on. But God will give us grace to pray for those who are literally dying for their faith, suffering in a way that's unimaginable to our mind, to our culture, to our senses. And then it says in verse number 22, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And there's a principle here that you see, whenever trouble comes and persecution comes, and whenever difficulties come to the church, God is sifting. And whenever we look here, what the Lord is saying, those who endure are those who are truly saved. Not everybody who says they're saved is indeed a Christian. And it often comes and it proves itself at a time of trouble. But God's people will maintain. And God's people will remain, and God's people will stand for Christ, because God gives grace to do that. But to encourage you as we leave this morning, look at those three little words. And I love the little words of Scripture, because sometimes we skip over them. They're the easy words, but oh, how much they mean. Look what it says at the end of verse number 22. To the end. To the end. There is an end of suffering. There is an end of persecution. There is an end of the devil's rule. There is an end of temptation. There is an end of fighting the battle. There is an end of these things. And it's that moment when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. I know there are people today in this congregation, and I know something of some of your stories and some of your backgrounds and some of your current circumstances. And I know there are people today that are suffering, and yet they're in the house of God. And what grace that has been that God has given. And I know that there's people suffering greatly today. But praise God, it will come to an end. We'll lay our burdens down. The sicknesses will be left behind. The pain will be forgotten. No hospital beds, wheelchairs, doctors or nurses needed. Because praise God, he will make all things new. Friend, this world isn't our home. Don't get too comfortable today. Don't make preparation as if you're going to be here forever. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Live for eternity. Serve while you can. And remember, one day, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. If the trumpet of the Lord sounded today, friend, would you rise to meet him? Or if you're honest in this house of worship today, would you have to say, no, I'd be left behind? I'd see my family go. My friends go up to meet him in the air. To be with him forever. To joy and eternal happiness. But I'd be standing here. Ready to go to hell. If you're not saved this morning, you need to be saved, because if you think this world is full of suffering, then it's nothing compared to hell. Don't go on in your sin. Don't go on to a lost eternity. But come to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize this morning there are those that are meeting in fear of being discovered, in fear of the authorities knocking on the door and putting them to death. And Lord, our hearts can't enter into what that even might be. But we pray for our brothers and our sisters, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we pray for them, Lord, in Afghanistan and North Korea, Somalia, Libya, Yemen. We pray for them in Nigeria and all other places around this world, where it is dangerous to be thine. Oh Lord, give special, miraculous deliverance to them, we pray. Protect them and hide them from the authorities. Give them help, Lord, as they worship thee. Lord, for those in prison cells today, for their faith, we pray you'll give them grace. For those who may stand before magistrates today or tomorrow for their faith, Lord, give them help. And we pray, Lord, where we live, and we thank you, Lord, and we know that there is things that are happening that seek to maybe prevent the preaching of the word and certainly seek to hinder the gospel. But we pray, Lord, for the freedom, and thank you for the freedom we do have right now. And we pray you'll preserve it. And you pray, Lord, that your people will wake up and realize that we need to pray for these things. And we ask you, Lord, that as we preach the gospel and the freedom we have, that many precious souls will find freedom in Christ. Maybe there's one sitting in this meeting today and they're still not saved, on their way to a lost eternity. May God give them grace to call upon the name of the Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, bring us back this evening. Lord, don't allow us to just come to one service, but help us to give this whole day to thee. Bring us back out tonight. Help us to bring others with us. Give grace as people give out invitations this week to the meetings for next week. But, O Lord, we pray that you just bless us as we would walk with thee. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.